Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your first place playoff bound Miami Dolphins, part of the Believe Network, presented by BetOnline.ag. I am Sam Marcoux, and he is the two-time, yes, two-time Hall of Famer. Of course, I'm talking about the good doctor himself, Dr. Christopher Cullen. Doctor, how in the hell are you, my friend?
Oddly okay. I got over it. It's like one of those, you get broken up with your girlfriend and you're like, oh, this sucks, and you're punching your pillow, and then like Wednesday you go out with the boys and you're like, I'm all right, life goes on, we still are in the playoffs and we control our own destiny to win the division, so here we go.
Yeah, I was okay with the Baltimore loss to a degree. You never want to lose, you hope you win, but Baltimore is a team right now, Chris, that I don't know that I can recall a team playing at an elite status at every facet of the game, from offense to defense to special teams to coaching, the way the Baltimore Ravens are playing right now. So if you're going to lose to the best, and that's what the Miami Dolphins did against the Baltimore Ravens. I think the part that's a gut punch for me, Chris, is losing Bradley Chubb in addition to the game when he was out there with 3 minutes left with a 30-point deficit. Yeah. There was really no reason for him to be out there. We lose him for the season. No Jalen Phillips, no Bradley Chubb, no Xavier Howard. This defense, as we go into week 18, primetime Sunday night football against the hated Buffalo Bills, which we will talk about, is reeling once again, Chris.
Yeah, that's the toughest part for me, is that we finally put a squad together that's competitive, that's top of the AFC, a couple breaks away from being the one seed, and then all of a sudden, right at the end, we just start crumbling. And right where we were our strongest was, everybody's like, our offense is really good, and our defense was meh, and then like Ramsey comes back and changes things. Our pass rush is getting home. Even referenced on Hard Knocks on Tuesday, the guys talking to safeties, how much we're getting to the quarterback and pressuring, and that was with Phillips and with Chubb. And we lose those two guys. We've been without Baker. I was talking to my family. I mean, you lose Connor Williams, you lose Robert Hunt. You're starting running back last game, starting receiver last game. Like, how do you like battle back from that and expect to even be competitive, let alone beat the Ravens? So agree with you. It wasn't pretty and expected all along. I picked us to lose last week, you albeit a lot closer.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting about this game, because this game was not won or lost by one individual play. The Ravens just flat out beat us. But going back to the first half of this game, there's a couple of points where if the Dolphins are playing better than what they played out there, the outcome might be in question, and we might be having a different conversation right now. Number one, Tyreek Hill drops the easiest pass ever get to Tagovailoa in the end zone. I'm not even sure how that happened, but it did. Instead of getting 7 points, we have to settle for 3. That right there was a little bit of a backbreaker, because we would have gone up, I think, 14-7 at that point, if I'm not mistaken, as opposed to 10-7, a little bit of a change there. Number two, the offense in the first half of the game, Chris, I was actually really impressed with. They did exactly what you and I pointed out last week, which was get Durham Smythe involved. You got to get Jeff Wilson in between the tackles. Devon Achane came to play in this game. They weren't pressing. They were being patient. They were taking what the Baltimore Ravens defense was giving them. And then 2 minutes and 3 seconds happened, Chris. And that's all that was needed for the wheels become flying off of this game. The Baltimore Ravens are up 21-13 at the time. The Miami Dolphins have the ball and they're driving and they're moving the ball to try to go ahead and score a touchdown and at least become within 1 point, if not tie the game if they went for two before the half, knowing that Baltimore was getting the ball back to start the third quarter. They rushed it. They started pressing. They got outside of that comfort zone. They had plenty of time, Chris, but Tua Tagovailoa, Mike McDaniel, and the entire offense decides to try to squeeze a playoff right before the 2 minute warning. And what happens? Interception goes the other way. They, the very next series, I think on a 4th and 7, complete the most improbable pass to Isaiah Likely, the backup tight end who rumbles in for a touchdown. And instead of it being 21-20 or 21-21 or maybe even 21-16 at the half, it's now 28-13, and Baltimore gets the job, gets the ball, and then of course they almost return it for a touchdown to start the third quarter. It was just a comedy of errors within a nice 2 to 5 minute window between the end of the second quarter and the start of the third. If that doesn't happen, Chris, it's a wildly different outcome and a wildly different game, and we're having a wildly different conversation right here, right now.
Yeah, Sam, that stretch right there was old Miami Dolphins. That was our Dolphins with Tannehill and Matt Moore and the beginning of the Tua era. Like, that's what was expected, and that's what hasn't happened this year, and something I thought we got over, and it just avalanched into itself. And that kickoff at the beginning of the second half was just the straw that broke the camel's back, because you want to come out, make adjustments, get the ball back, and like really come back from this game. We did it last year, and it just was deflating. And you saw it with the guys on Hard Knocks. You know, McDaniel had to at halftime tell them to be positive and optimistic on the sideline, and they go out and give out a 78-yard kick return to start the second half. I mean, like, what do you do at that point as a defense? It's tough. That was old school Dolphins that we know, and I didn't miss it, so it sucked to see it back.
It was like a warm, wet blanket. But you asked what you should do, and I'll tell you what they should have done. They should have gotten a bet online. That's because the NFL playoffs are right around the corner, and the NBA season is in full swing. Bet Online has you covered with all the up-to-second odds, news, and scores. With additional odds, lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Chris, head there today to get in on the action and see all the updated odds. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts, Chris. And
hey, Sam, you know, we started talking about this ball. And speaking of the NBA, yes. I believe my Miami Heat beat your Lakers last night. So I just wanted to bring that up since it was in your script.
I believe that I really don't watch really any NBA anymore. I got a theory on this, and I may have brought this up on this episode, or not this episode, but the show before. Steph Curry, for as great as he is for the Golden State Warriors, ruined the NBA for me. He absolutely ruined the NBA. I like the 90s NBA. That's what I grew up on. You had Michael Jordan, you had Patrick Ewing, you had Larry Johnson, you had Alonzo Mourning. You had, especially in the East, which was so strong, you had this type of game where they were battling, and it was physical in the paint. And you're a Heat fan. You guys had brawls in the playoffs between the Knicks and the Heat. You had Shaquille O'Neal elbowing or getting elbowed by Charles Barkley and getting the ball thrown on his head. You had these like physical specimens that were bodying each other. And then Steph Curry shows up and just starts draining threes from 50 feet out, and there's no physicality anymore. There's no in the paint. It's a boring type of basketball. It's in on an individual basis very impressive to see what he can do, but everyone just does what Steph Curry does now, and they've kind of figured out analytically, I'd rather take three-pointers instead of make two-pointers because just the math tells me we're going to score more points. I think it's a boring brand of basketball, Chris, and I don't really watch the NBA anymore because of it.
We went from everybody being Draymond Green to Draymond Green going to therapy because he's too physical.
that's exactly right. I mean, that is 100%. Draymond Green's about maybe the only player. I think LeBron could probably fit in there. Maybe Jimmy Butler, too. I mean, I'm sure there's a pocket of players that would you could pick up and drop into the late 80s, early 90s game. But you're absolutely right. Draymond Green back in the 90s would just be like, hey, he's a Detroit Piston. That's how they play. And now it's
they're bad boys.
He might not play ever again. that's the society that we have. I mean, it's like the Baltimore Ravens against the Miami Dolphins in terms of 90s basketball and today. But anyway, Chris, let's get back to the football, because the Miami Dolphins, there are some positives here. They are in the playoffs, regardless of what happens this weekend against the Buffalo Bills and what happened against the Baltimore Ravens. They're in the playoffs. Where they play and when they play will be decided in this game against the hated Buffalo Bills on Sunday Night Football. It was announced New Year's Eve, Chris. I was out having dinner, and I look up, and I see on the screen that it's now a Sunday Night Football game, Miami Dolphins at home against the Buffalo Bills. Chris, since Sunday Night Football went to NBC in 2006, the Miami Dolphins are 2-4. One of those wins actually came this season against the bad New England Patriots team. They don't do well in primetime. They don't do well in Sunday Night Football. They don't do well when the lights are shining brightest, at least not right now. And compound that with the fact that Josh Allen is 9-2 against the Buffalo or against the Miami Dolphins in his career. One of those losses came as a rookie. The other one last season in that hard-fought Week 3 matchup in Miami in the sun. Those are not going to be elements. Let's get into it. I hate the Buffalo Bills. You hate the Buffalo Bills. Let's hate the Buffalo Bills together. And let's talk about this game that has so much on the line for both franchises that we'll talk about here. Are you ready, Chris?
I'm born ready, buddy.
All right. Well, the first thing I'm going to talk about is the fact that I hate that this game was, quote unquote, flexed to Sunday Night Football for all the reasons that we just talked about. A, I don't like Chris Collinsworth. B, I don't like the fact that this game is happening at night in Miami. I don't like the fact that Buffalo gets X amount of more time to nurse their injuries and get back healthy as much as they possibly can. Even if it's 3 to 4 to 5 hours, that could make a difference, Chris. And I don't like the fact that Josh Allen has looked like dog doo-doo against everybody in the NFL except the Miami Dolphins this season. I hate it. I hate the fact that this game is going to decide whether or not we win the division and whether or not we're on the road the first 2 weeks of the playoffs or if we're at home. I also hate the fact that even if we do win, we're probably playing the same damn team in the wild card round, Chris.
Yeah, Sam, you took a lot of reasons, and that's fine because there's so much to hate about Buffalo. No, it's fine. I hate all of that. As soon as they said it was Sunday Night Football, look at my brother, said the L. Like, we never play good on primetime, Sam. Like, the one time we did was against the Ravens a year or so ago when we just beat the piss out of Lamar Jackson with a zero blitz where Flores just flexed his defensive muscles all game. Yeah, last time we were on national TV, Sam, we choked against the fucking Titans who put up 3 points. 3 points on Houston last week. Like, how did we lose to that team? We would be sleepwalking. Right now, I'm reading the bottom of the scroll of NFL Network, and it's like Flacco not playing, Mahomes not playing, Lamar Jackson not playing because they're locked in. They got a spot already, and they're just resting all their starters this week. Now, albeit, if we win against Baltimore, we're playing all our starters this week too because we're still playing for the one seed. But it just sucks. We're in this position. I hate that just the conspiracy theorists right now are like, see, it's scripted. Week 18, they got to play for the division. Buffalo's losing all these games. Miami's winning all these games. Miami can't beat the good team. Buffalo's bad on the road. Miami's great at home. Who's going to win? It's just like unbelievable they flexed this game. I hate the piss out of it, Sam. So I'm just going to double down on hating that it was flexed because I hate it that much, and I hate any ogre from Buffalo. I'll just add that in there.
Yeah, it wasn't even quite flexed, right? I mean, it was a TBD until New Year's Eve, which is also asinine for anybody traveling to go to this game because you don't know if it's going to happen Saturday, you don't know if it's going to happen Sunday or Sunday night. It's a disastrous way to actually run the last week of the season. I understand why the NFL is doing it because they just want to be able to shuffle the deck with the best matchups and put those and highlight them, and that's what they're going to get with the Bills and the Dolphins this weekend. But it sucks. It sucks for the players because they are so regimented. They know what their schedule is. They ask when they can go to the bathroom. They have it on their schedules when they can take naps and exercise and everything else. So not knowing when you play also kind of messes with, I guess, both teams. But in this case, I think it's going to mess with the Miami Dolphins a little bit more. I also hate the fact, Chris, that it does sound like not only is it going to be on primetime, not only is it going to be against the Buffalo Bills team that we've struggled against for, you know, about a decade now, but it's also going to be almost a home game for the Buffalo Bills. The Snowbirds are out, Chris. It's January in Miami. That means the New Yorkers, both Western and otherwise, are coming down to South Florida. They're going to take over Fort Lauderdale. They're going to take over the Elbow Room. They're going to smash a few tables and crack a few heads. And then they're going to show up at Hard Rock Stadium, and you're going to see blue and red smattered around the entire stadium in the stands. What do you make of the fact that Miami Dolphins season ticket holders are selling their tickets for top dollar, but selling them to the highest bidder who happen to be Buffalo Bills fans cashing in their life savings to come to this game? This might not be the home field advantage that it typically is for the Miami Dolphins, who are 7-1 at home this season.
First of all, if you're a fan selling your ticket and not vetting them and making sure they're a Dolphin family, fuck you. Like, that's just ridiculous. I mean, I'm sorry. If you can afford to be a season ticket holder and you're that big of a fan, like, check. Because one time I went to a Jacksonville Jaguar game against Miami. It was in Jacksonville, and I got season ticket holder tickets from a Jags fan. And I sat next to these horrible – I mean, and you want to talk about – I've been to New York with you, Sam, New Jersey, against the Jets on the road. These fans in Jacksonville were top three worst I've ever experienced. And they're Jag fans. You know what the other top three is, by the way? Carolina Panther fans. And I have a reason behind that theory. And it's both teams are fairly new to the NFL, you know, mid-90s, I think they came out into the NFL. They're not real fans. Sure. They act like they think fans are supposed to act like based on movies and like things like that. Where I've talked to our friend Steve Sykes, who's gone to Green Bay, and they, like, you know, feed them food, and they're, you know, they're so nice and hospitable. Jags fans and Panther fans, they're like, hey, we're supposed to say fuck you because you're rooting for the other team. I'm talking preseason games that I've gone to Carolina, and I'm like, the fuck is your problem, dude? No, this game doesn't even fucking count. I'm rooting on Chris Chambers' nephew. That's not even going to make the team. Chill the fuck out. Like, I hate Jag fans. I hate Buffalo fans. I hate Panther fans and the Panthers all in general. This isn't Hateful Eight. However, I will get to hating Buffalo, Sam. And I hate Josh Allen. Sam, I hate him. He's one of those players. And here's why. He's one of those players. If he's like on any other team, I'd like him. I'd like the guy. He just fucking puts the team on his back. He's hard to tackle, has a rocket arm. He fucks up sometimes and he owns it in the media. Like, he's not a douche, but he's on the fucking Bills. Like, we get Brady for 20 years. He leaves and now Josh Allen comes in and skull fucks us for a decade. Like, I'm just sick of this happening and the sick cyclical cycle that's happening. And I'm just sick of it. And I hate it. I hate Josh Allen.
Yeah, I hate it too. And, you know, there's something off with Josh Allen because he's just not having the typical year. I mean, he's very good. Like I said, especially when he's up against the Miami Dolphins, he seems to dial it up to the next level and be that Josh Allen that we're talking about right now. But I look at it, you know, it seems like there's a strained relationship between him and Stephon Diggs. I know Bills fans will probably jump all over this and say, no, that's not true. It seems to be the case, but they're not this one-dimensional pony anymore between Stephon and Josh Allen. That is by far the best offensive connection that they have. But Gabe Davis, if we don't have a game plan for him, he's going to eat us alive. Dawson Knox and that other tight end, who's I think also named Knox or Dawson or whatever the heck his name is, they're going to be a challenge for us. James Cook has been low-key one of the best NFL players in the league this year. And since they got rid of Ken Dorsey, and they brought in whoever their offensive coordinator is now, they have unlocked the James Cook key. He is now RB1. He's a guy that if we don't have a game plan for, that's going to be a problem. Not only because he can run the ball between the tackles and get outside, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield, Chris. He's going to be a menace, and this is going to be a problem because Jalen Phillips out, Bradley Chubb out. Don't know if Jerome Baker is coming back or not. Even if he is, he hasn't played for 4 weeks, and he's got a knee that isn't 100%. Xavier Howard out. That means Kader Kohu in the slot. That means Eli Apple, wonderful, playing opposite Jalen Ramsey. We've got some issues on defense that Vic Fangio better bring the right scheme. Vic Fangio better blitz at the right times. Vic Fangio better have these people accounted for. Otherwise, this is going to be us next week talking about how we're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs on the road as the number 6 seed, Chris.
That'd be the worst. Like, I hate that this is even a possibility. And I hate that you bring up, too. We mentioned one of the things we hate about this getting flexed is the Bills are going to know their fate. That's the thing I hate. I hate it, too. The Bills are going to know. They need, like, help. If the Steelers win or the Jags win or something, the Colts win, there's just all these, like, options. They're going to know the results. So they're going to know if they're out and they're playing spoiler, or they're going to know if they're in and they, you know, can and they're fighting for their lives by beating us to win the division. Either way, they know that they are going to needing to win this game. And it's just frustrating that that's already going to be played out before the whistle even blows.
It's effectively a playoff game for both teams for different reasons. So let's break down the scenarios. Let's make it the easiest possible. If the Miami Dolphins win, they are the number 2 seed. They are hosting the number 7 seed week 19 or the wild card round of the playoffs. Simple as that. If they lose, they are basically dropped down to the number 6 seed and go to Kansas City. That's who they'll be playing, who's the number 3 seed, and go on the road. They'll be a wild card team. They'll lose the division when they had a 3-game lead with 3 games left to play. It would be what I would consider a December collapse or an end of season collapse. I think that would qualify, Chris. Now, the Buffalo Bills most likely are getting into the playoffs regardless of if they win or lose this game. But here's what they're up against. If they lose, they obviously cannot win the division. They'd have to go in as a wild card. They would need the Jacksonville Jaguars to lose. They're playing the Tennessee Titans. And they would need the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Pittsburgh Steelers to lose against the Baltimore Ravens, which seems plausible, but the Baltimore Ravens are resting a lot of their starters. The Pittsburgh Steelers are still fighting to get into the playoffs, Chris. There is a scenario here where Pittsburgh and Jacksonville win, and all we do is beat the Bills, and they're out of the playoffs. We can play spoiler to their season by winning this game. So the Buffalo Bills are highly motivated, whether or not they know their fate. Let's say the Baltimore Ravens beat the Steelers and it locks the Buffalo Bills into the playoffs. They can still win the division and host a game next week, or they would have to go on the road themselves, probably back to Miami against us. So this is a crazy scenario where you can either win the division or seal your fate and be out if you're the Buffalo Bills, or you can win the division or be one of the last seeds to qualify effectively as a wild card team if you're the Miami Dolphins. So much on the line between these two teams. It's going to be a nerve-wracking game. So I wasn't too terribly nervous against Baltimore because it got out of hand in the first half. But that Dallas Cowboys game, Chris, 2 weeks ago, I was wearing a hole out in my hardwood floor because it was like a playoff type atmosphere, 22-20 or whatever the final score was of that game. But it was a hard fought victory for the Miami Dolphins. I feel like this is going to happen against the Buffalo Bills. This is going to be a playoff style game against one of our most hated rivals on prime time with Chris Collinsworth just adoring everything Josh Allen's going to do. Even if he fumbles the ball, I'll be like, but you see the technique? Wow, incredible. It's going to be a crazy matchup here. Before we get into the final predictions of this and before we do the drinking game, I do want to ask this question. If the Miami Dolphins lose, we're going to the playoffs either way, but if they lose this game, they won't win the division. And I posed the question on Twitter last week, when do we start holding Mike McDaniel accountable? And everyone jumped my shit and said, what do you mean? He holds himself accountable. Sure. Mike McDaniel does that. Vic Fangio does that. That's what's great about this coaching staff. But when do we, Chris, when do you and I and the media start pointing the finger at Mike McDaniel and saying, this is on you? Does that happen if we lose this game? Does Mike McDaniel not sit on the hot seat, but does somebody start lighting the match and looking for a place to put it underneath him? Because if we collapse like we have always collapsed in December and January, late in the season, what's different about Mike McDaniel than all the other coaches of the past?
Here's the only thing that's different, Sam. And I would say in normal circumstances, if we had our full roster, absolutely. But here's the thing. It's not just one guy, Tua, for example, last year at this time last year. It is like half the fucking team. I mean, they mentioned it on Hard Knocks that we were going into that game with seven starters on the sideline, Sam. Seven. We had 2,000 yards of total offense in street clothes with Mostert and Waddle. You're sure. Down Waddle, Mostert, Connor Williams, Robert Hunt. You know, Jalen Phillips is out. Baker is out. Those are starters. We're without Holland four games, something like that, with knees, by the way. Just always kills me every time I see that on the injury report. Javon Holland knees, like both of them. Like, how does that happen? We reverse cursed this team, Sam. We went into the season. We said, look, if Tua stays healthy,
right,
we're a great team. And he went, okay, Uno reverse card. I'll stay healthy. Everyone else gets hurt. So, yeah, if we had our full starting roster and we're collapsing like this, absolutely, Mike McDaniel is going to have some dust-ups. But, dude, I mean, what do you do? I mean, you can only sign so many guys. We're signing Melvin Ingram, Jason Pierre-Paul, just off the street trying to just strengthen our depth. And he's getting a lot out of ABG. We had six Pro Bowlers, I think, two, three starters, four starters, and like 12 backups coming into this. I mean, no, I don't think he's on the hot seat. I don't think you like the match. I just hate that we have more excuses and it's going to be another season because we got to win this game, Sam. Like, we win this game. We didn't talk about this yet. We potentially have two home playoff games because if we win in the wild card, we're hosting a divisional round. We're the two seed. So this is huge on so many levels. And this is where Mike McDaniel, no matter, you know, the excuses suck. A lot of teams have injuries, not as many as this team. But we still are good. We still have Tyreek Hill. We still have Mostert hopefully coming back. And we got to draw up a game plan with Vic Fangio. We paid a lot of money to come in to coach this defense, who didn't seem to adjust at all against the Baltimore Ravens. Just sat back and let Lamar Jackson have a career high tied, by the way, the other game against Miami. Five touchdowns. You got to have a game plan. And if not, yeah, we'll point some fingers. But no, you don't like the match yet.
Yeah, I mean, Vic Fangio, I think, did come out even today in his press conference and said he didn't do a very good job of calling plays defensively. Didn't put him in a position to win. They struggled with what he did call. Obviously, didn't match our personnel and scheme to what Baltimore was doing. And he did own it, to his point. I do like Vic Fangio, too, because he's very honest. Like, they talked about Cam Smith. Cam Smith hasn't seen the field. The rookie that we drafted with the highest draft pick this year, Eli Apple is still out there, right? Kader Kohu is still out there. And he's basically like, well, he has to do everything better in practice in order to even get some run. Like, he's not mincing words. He talked about Emmanuel Ogba can rush the passer, but he's not anybody that can drop into coverage. ABG can do that. You know, he's like, Melvin Ingram can do that. So I do anticipate seeing a lot of Melvin Ingram in this game because of what Vic Fangio just bluntly said, is that he can do things that others cannot. We do have a lot of starters out on defense. We have a lot of starters out on offense. Jalen Waddle's probably not going to play in this game. I don't know if Raheem Mostert is or not. One of the things that we haven't talked about, oh, by the way, Tyreek Hill's house catches on fire earlier this week. And the footage of showing him and his wife watching the fire, which is horrific, right? Obviously, nobody was hurt, but what an awful experience to go through. And what do I see? Tyreek Hill in a boot, a walking cast. And I'm like, what? What is this? Like, what is he out too? I mean, he's got an ankle injury, which he's had, and it looked like he aggravated it again against the Baltimore Ravens, but he's on, he had limited participation. So at least he's playing a little bit in practice, but I don't know, Chris. I mean, we've got so many injuries and I'm almost thinking, does it make sense not to punt on this game? Because then you're making your playoff road much harder. And if you have an opportunity to knock the Buffalo Bills out, you got to take it. But is it the end of the world if this game starts to get out of hand, if you just pull your starters out and say, you know what, we're not going to win this game. I'm not going to lose another starter prior to the playoffs. I'm pulling everybody out and we're getting a little bit extra rest and we're going to get ready for Kansas City. I mean, how would you handle that if we go down by two scores, let's say we're down 28-14 at the half. How are you handling that if you're Mike McDaniel?
No, not at the half. We have two home games to play for in the playoffs. I wouldn't do that. But if it's in the fourth quarter, like the fucking Ravens game, you're down, you know, four scores. Why the fuck was Tua scrambling and getting chased down and tackled? Why the fuck was Chubb trying to juke with a running back down 30 with 3 minutes left? There's absolutely no reason those fucking guys should have been in the game. I was yelling for it during the Ravens game, and I'll be yelling for it Sunday night if, knock on wood, that happens again. But hopefully it doesn't come to that, Sam, and we're about to, you know, find out after the drinking game how we feel that's going to happen.
Well, let's get into it. That's a nice transition. Let's get into the drinking game, the last regular season drinking game of this 2023-2024 season. First game of 2024 here, Chris. What are we going to see? What are we drinking to? How are we getting drunk Sunday night?
Yeah, well, another thing I hate is that I'm going to get drunk and be hungover at work Monday. That fucking sucks. I hate night games on Sundays so much. Anyway, just going to pace myself. But I'm not going to pace myself when I play the drinking game, because if we see a guy go through a fucking table, Sam, you drink.
There you go. I think if they show the different playoff scenarios, it's a trope. It's during the game, you got to take a drink.
If they show Josh Allen's record against the Miami Dolphins, you drink.
If they show the long list of injuries that the Miami Dolphins currently have, take a drink.
If they mention the Dolphins being undefeated against Buffalo in the 70s, you drink.
If they show Marv Levy, Don Shula, Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Mark Duper, Mark Clayton, Andre Reed, James Lofton, or any combination thereof, you drink.
Ooh, I'm going to say if they show Bruce Smith, you drink.
If they show Richmond Webb against Bruce Smith, you drink.
Nice. If they then zoom into Richmond Webb's name on the Hall of Fame and the stadium, you drink.
If after they do that, somebody on Twitter or somebody in the booth says, this guy should really be in the Hall of Fame, you drink.
It's going to happen regardless. If they show, again, I'm going to go back to our last game against Buffalo. If they show a fucking idiot with a Buffalo wing hat on, you fucking drink. I can't stand those hats.
It's got to be a free square at this point, because you mentioned that last time and it was like the first thing we saw on the telecast week four. It was like, oh, there it is right there.
It was Buffalo literally Bills. Like, welcome to Buffalo. And it like zoomed in on the guy with the wing hat on, like horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. If they show, let's see here. If they show a different combination of Mike McDaniel's different hoodie outfits throughout the season, That's kind of a wild card one there. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. Then you take a shot. That's like a blackout right there of the entire bingo card.
If they mention how hot it was at 1 o'clock and compare it to the temperature on the field at night and the Bills' complaints about the weather, you drink.
That's a really good one. I wish I thought of that one. That's a really good one right there. If they show the super fans that Chris loves so much, like Finn Sticky or Dolph Freaky or any of these people that dress up and are their own characters, and oh, by the way, can be hired on Cameo now, you drink.
So ridiculous. I can't stand those people. I can't stand them. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's not about you. All right. Let me get into that. Jesus Christ. Let's see. If they show Tua hugging Josh Allen after our victory last year against them, you drink.
That's a good one. I like that one too. I think we got enough to fill up the bingo card. Any more that you want to do for the bingo card, or are we good to move on to the predictions, Chris?
This is what I hope I'm wrong about. If we hear a "Let's go Bills" chant as we're losing and they're going in victory formation, and Chris Collinsworth mentions it, you drink heavily. Drink heavily. Yeah,
it's like a home game. Ha ha ha. Mike Tirico, whoever. Scott Michaels, whoever's with him. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a lot of drinking. And like you said, it's Sunday night, so we're either going to be celebratory drinking or we're going to be, consoling ourselves with a nice beer or harder beverage. But let's get into it, Chris. What is the final outcome? Are the Miami Dolphins winning the AFC East? Are they putting the Buffalo Bills in peril of either being out of the playoffs or going on the road and making it as impossible as they possibly can for the Buffalo Bills? Or are the Miami Dolphins going to limp into the playoffs, both figuratively, literally, after losing two in a row for the first time all season and become a wild card team themselves?
Sam, I've picked pretty honestly this year, and I've been right more than I've been wrong, and that's just because I've picked us to win and we've won a lot. However, I did pick us to lose to Baltimore last week. I just had a bad feeling about that game going into it. But I'm back, baby. I'm back. And not only are we going to win this game, Sam, this is going to be a fuck you moment for Josh McDaniel. This is going to be a fuck you moment for the guys that weren't good enough, that are just playing and stepping up. They're sick of hearing about the injuries. They're sick of hearing about how weak and just bitter we are. And they're going to go out there, and Melvin Ingram's going to have a sack fumble. AVG might have a pick six. These guys, Duke Riley's going to have a game, who just had an absolute fucking awful game last week. I mean, just game. Those blonde hairs in the back of the helmet chasing backup running backs on wheel routes, that the same play over and over again, and you just can't cover it. He's going to have a game, Sam. The crowd is going to be louder than we anticipate. We're going to just take the bull by the horns, the bill by the horn, and we're going to go out there on national TV, put our flag down at home. We're 7-1 in Hard Rock Stadium, soon to be 8-1. Dolphins win, and not only do they win big, 34-17. The wow. Defense steps up. Josh Allen can't get out of his own fucking way. We trip him up. We shut down Diggs, and we win this goddamn ball game. Mike White takes the knee in victory formation to end it and send us to the 2 seed to Hard Rock Stadium next week.
Hard Rock, Hard Knocks, Chris Colin bringing the fire, although you said Josh McDaniel. I think you meant Mike McDaniel, although it would be very interesting, almost a ridiculous prediction, if all of a sudden Josh McDaniel's music hits and he comes out, and you're like, where is he? And he's like, I'm calling the plays in the second half. And I'm like, okay. And then he hit
his music.
Josh Allen with a chair. Glass. Yeah. Chairs. Is that McDaniel? You know, it's interesting you talked about Duke Riley, too. Josh Allen's you said Duke Riley and how bad of a game he had against Baltimore. It was so bad, in fact, Chris, that the very first play of the game, he gets beat and burned. And the only reason it didn't count was there was a pass interference. The Baltimore Ravens came back like 3 plays later and did the exact same play without pass interference, and it worked for even more. I couldn't believe just how bad of a game he had. Deshaun Elliott had a really bad game, too, which, I was kind of yelling at him, and then I had to kind of check myself, Chris, because I'm like, you know what, he did save the game literally against the Dallas Cowboys with an amazing tackle on the goal line. So I guess it evens out. Well, you bet against the Miami Dolphins last week and won. I took the opposite and lost. I don't see why I would change just because it's a new year. I'm going opposite of you, Chris. I'm a pessimist. I think the Miami Dolphins have too much to overcome. The Buffalo Bills have more life and actually have more to play for than the Miami Dolphins right now. I think the Miami Dolphins and Mike McDaniel are going to try to play a little bit of chess, whether they check themselves or not. They can't handle any more injuries. They just simply can't. So if this game starts to go sideways, I feel like he's going to pull everybody, and you will see Mike White taking knees, but not because they're winning, but because he's probably getting knocked on his ass over and over and over again by the Buffalo Bills. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to win this game. I think they're going to win handily. I think this is going to be a 2-score effort. We're going to have to just wipe the egg off our face and hope that we can do something in the playoffs against the Kansas City Chiefs team, which, by the way, I'm not terribly impressed with Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, Patrick Mahomes, and the rest of the Kansas City idiots. So I think it would be okay in a weird way as well. But I got Buffalo winning this game. I got them winning 31-13, Chris. You've got them 34-17. I hope you're right and I'm wrong. I just don't see this going our way. I bet against the Miami Dolphins exactly 0 times this season, even when I wanted to. But I can't keep the faith. I think the Miami Dolphins are going to just limp back into the playoffs and take their chances on the road. That's how I see it.
And I'm just picturing Mike White getting a Muay Thai kneed by Gregory Rousseau just over and over again, like, and the ref's not calling it. It's just they're looking the other way, and he's just got his hands locked between back of his head and just pulling him down for Muay Thai knees, and everybody's just throwing white towels from the sideline, like, throw the goddamn towel. And we're just crying.
Just blood's flying from his face. The face mask is just coming off with every knee. And we're just like, Mike McDaniel's like, I'm not putting Tua in. I'm sorry, Mike.
They pull out one of the tailgate chairs, you know, 3D him through it.
Yeah,
just we'll 3D powerbomb him.
We'll dedicate our wild card win in Kansas City to Mike White and his late family. well, so
that's all I can see now. To kill him?
Jesus. Yeah, well, look, I mean. I don't know if they'll throw the flag. I did say this on Twitter, though. A Buffalo Bills fan was already like, the crew that's been assigned, the ref crew that's been assigned to this game apparently has thrown 50 more flags on the away teams than the home teams this season. So they're like, get ready. It's going to happen to us. And I'm like, good. I hope it does. I hope they cheat on our behalf. Like, I just want flags.
I'll take it. Yeah.
But, like, if they sneeze during a pass and we don't catch it, like, I want pass interference flags. Like, I will take every single shit penalty and just go, yep, sorry. I'm taking it. He didn't. Yep. Bye. My bad.
Yep. Sorry. I'm not sorry on that. If they give Tua the Brady treatment, I'm totally fine with that.
What do you think about Jalen Ramsey? Should he be shadowing?
He's on Diggs all game. He has to be. Okay. They did it against the Jets with Garrett Wilson when X was out. We got to do it again. Period.
I think I'm with you. I think you at least got to try it. If it doesn't start working, if we start getting, you know, beat to shit by these other, you know, role players for the Buffalo Bills, then maybe you could switch it up. But I think,
and then you can bracket, with, you know, Holland above
Jalen Ramsey on Stephon Diggs. Yeah, yeah. I whatever works, man. Whatever works to get us to. You know what? Screw it. I'm changing my prediction. I think the Miami Dolphins win 27-24.
No.
You had me.
You're gonna get. You had me going for this.
I don't care. Either way, I'm right. That's why I put it on tape right there, Chris, is that if I say one way or the other, I'm like, see, I told you. So, all right, Chris. Well, happy new year to you. Happy new year to everybody. Everybody to in the town of Perfectville, all the citizens of Perfectville out there. Hopefully, the second week of January, we're all celebratory and talking about how we beat the Buffalo Bills again, week 19. But if not, then we'll figure out how to beat the Chiefs. Other than that, Chris, anything else you want to say for the before we get out of here on this last regular season episode of Perfect?
Well, happy new year, everybody.
Happy new year, everybody. On behalf of the two-time Hall of Famer, myself, the entire Believe Network, of course, presented by betonline.ag. The only thing left to say is goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.
I don't know what that is.
I didn't get the eyebrow right.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.